regarded them warily.
Gifts from Nathan.
Ryan grabbed a pack and slung it across his shoulder.
I told him we would be here if the rat hit the Geiger.
A group of blue shirts appeared on another parapet opposite from them and started to shoot. The companions ducked, flying granite chips from the missives hitting them with stinging force. The rough stone of the parapets pressed hard into their spines, a cold breeze tugging at their clothes as the men frantically reloaded.
It has.
Heavy fired controlled bursts from the Uzi at the dodging Sethman. A man cried out, blood sprang from his shoulder. Hopefully, Doc ripped open a pack and found food, candles, matches, and lots of mixed ammo, but no grins.
I am less than pleased with the choice of accoutrement. A dozen grins would have done us a world of good.
Suddenly, a powerful explosion rocked the stairs, and a billowing cloud of acrid smoke blew out the shattered door and expanded over the parapets. Wails of agony came from below, along with bitter curses and virulent oaths.
They found my gift.
JB grinned, adjusting his glasses.
What was that?
Bean picked up a backpack.
I emptied the gunpowder from the bullets and packed them solid with C4. Not a blaster made can contain that detonation. The fools took off their own arms and hands using my ammo.
Thou shalt not steal. Most appropriate.
Doc cast away the AK-47 and drew the Lamar. JB judiciously fired the Uzi at the other parapet, while the others cut loose at the men trying to sneak up the curved stairs.
They have us trapped!
Dean's left hand held his right wrist to steady the blaster and get maximum accuracy.
As soon as we run out of ammo, it'll be us in the cellar.
Doc shuddered, clearly recalling his prior days as a captive to another mad baron fond of torture.
I would rather die fighting.
We're not going to surrender.
Ryan released a shard of colored glass from the broken door and watched it tumble into the moat. The wind took it a bit to the left.
And we're not going to die. We're going to jump.
Jump?
JV dropped a spent clip and replaced it with a fresh magazine. His munitions bag was alarmingly light in weight. Stretching his neck, the armorer stole a peek at the choppy waters below.
Dark night. It's five freaking stories, and that's a shallow-ass moat, not a river. We'll hit bottom and break every bone we got.
Not if we jump exactly here. Ryan patted the railing.
9 o'clock!
Jack shot upward as he warned them. Twisting at the waist, Ryan tracked Sekhman climbing along the roof of the castle through the crosshair scope of the Stire. The long blaster spoke, and a screaming man flew off a gable. Ryan fired again, and a second rolled off the slanted roof to bounce off another gargoyle and plummet downward. The fellow missed the moat by a yard and hit the ground with a grisly thud. The rest of the blue shirts on the roof scurried over the peak for cover.
Why here?
Dean pressed loose rounds into an exhausted clip. The boy was down to his last few bullets.
There's a deep hole down there. My brothers and I used to jump off this balcony. We always made it okay.
You sure?
Been a while.
Ryan dropped a fresh clip into the breech of the Stire, but I'm sure. A hail of bullets peppered the parapet, clipping a fang off the sideways gargoyle, and JB felt a tug at his fedora.
Lead the way!
Slinging the long blaster across his shoulders, Ryan climbed onto the railing, took a breath, and jumped. The blue shirts paused in their attack, confused by the bizarre suicide, and the other companions took advantage of the lull to follow Ryan over the railing, staying as close to him as they possibly could. Their fall through the sky was brief, the fortress flashing by as the moat expanded below. The chilly air buffeted their clothes and a tingling feeling filled their stomachs. Then they hit the icy water. The companions plummeted straight down into the Stygian depths. Each man braced himself for the killing impact against the rocks on the bottom, muscles tightening in preparation for the pain. But their descent gradually slowed, and soon the companions began to float upward. Following the bubbles, they broke the surface, gasping for breath. The shore was only a few yards away, and they swam to it easily. The stone blocks edging the moat were slippery with algae, but Ryan directed the others to a set of worn steps cut into the foundation. The men dragged themselves out of the freezing water to fall on the dewy grass.
Dark night! We did it!
Voices cried out from the balcony, and shots flashed in the shadows overhead. Ryan felt a hot buzz go by his face, and he rolled away fast.
The trees!
He started off at a run. A large splash came from the moat.
They're still following us!
Dean turned to fire.
Not for long!
JB lobbed a block of something silvery at the fortress. It hit and sank. Then the surface of the moat bulged, and a roar of steam erupted from the bubbling moat. The swimming Sekhman shrieked as the water actually began to boil, the cooking flesh sagging away from his bare bones. The horrible cries thankfully ceased as he sank beneath the roiling chop.
Thermite!
Doc's long hair was plastered to his scalp, his clothes dripping.
I did not think you had any left.
JB retrieved his glasses from an inner pocket.
Sure. Just couldn't use it in the fortress because of the close confines. But it's safe out here.
How long?
10 minutes, maybe more.
Another man dived off the parapet, landing far away from the boiling waters. He went under and stayed there.
Underwater spikes. I don't think any more will be following us along this route. And it will take them forever to circle around the Ville, even in a wag.
The ground spurted at their feet from the impact of numerous bullets, and the companions raced across the smooth field into the safety of the trees, the thick canopy of branches closing off any view of the brightening sky.
What now, my dear Ryan?
Doc wiped off the blade of his sword on a soaked sleeve. The Lama at his hip was dribbling black powder and wadding through the bottom of the holster, the blaster useless until it could be thoroughly cleaned and dried. Ryan straightened his eye patch.
Now? We attack again, of course.
The unlocked door to the substation was violently kicked open, and the armed Sekhmen marched inside. Completely naked, Daffer cried out in shock, and Mildred, beneath him, raised a knee to hide their joining. The nude couple was lying on a tangle of old blankets, loosely thrown over a small bed in the corner of the room.
Noble sirs?
Daffer sputtered, trying to hide his nakedness.
What can I do for you this night?
Amused at their predicament, the sergeant snorted a chuckle as the other Sekhmen did a brief wreck of the tiny building, checking behind the woodpile and inside the wall cabinets.
Is there a back room?
Daffer blinked, sweat dripping off his face.
Here? No, sir, not even a cellar. I had planned on digging one, but when I was captured by the Cannies last month...
Yeah, we heard. Bad for them, good for you.
Well, this hole is clear.
Unlike others.
Scrawny Shanks, exposed to the cruel light of the lantern on the table, Daffer bent his head in shame. Contrarily, the naked woman under him raised herself on an elbow and ran a hand through her wild mane of hair.
Look any harder, boys, and it will cost you.
She cupped a plump breast as if offering it for inspection.
Hey, Sarge, you want to wait a few minutes and I'll take you next. Daffy here is almost done and hardly wets me at all.
The troops roared with laughter.
A gimp and a slut.
The sergeant headed for the door, shaking his head. Still chuckling, the Sekhmen walked out of the bunker, leaving the metal door wide open. Easing out from between Mildred's legs, Daffer lowered himself to the floor, and padding barefoot across the floor, closed and bolted the door.
It worked!
He grabbed his pants off the chair and pulled them on quickly. Mildred swung her muscular legs off the bed and stood, reaching under the pillow and retrieving her ZKR blaster.
Idiots are easily fooled.
Facing away from her, Daffer whispered,
"And my deepest apologies."
Mildred laid aside the weapon and walked to the shaking man, resting a hand on his shoulder. He flinched at the contact.
"There's nothing to speak of. I know you haven't been with a woman for a long time, and tucked so close to each other, certain physical masculine reactions were to be expected."
Buttoning his shirt, the man didn't speak.
"Besides, weren't you willing to die to protect the wife of your baron?"
"Certainly. I took an oath to my liege lord."
She crossed her arms and smiled.
"Then what's a little embarrassment?"
Daffer mumbled a reply and headed for the door. Undoing the bolt, he peeked outside, then closed and locked it again.
"They're gone.
Good.
Mildred pulled on her pants. Buckling the belt, she tucked her target pistol into the holster, then slid on her other garments. Touching her wild afro, Mildred sighed.